What is a Christian? That's the question we're asking on Sunday mornings. We're looking at some of the words that the Bible uses to describe a true Christian. A Christian is a son. A Christian is a saint. A Christian is a soldier. A Christian is a servant. And a Christian is a stone. I promise you, I didn't plan that the series would be all S's. And it just so happens that all these English words happen to begin with the letter S. A Christian is a stone. We read earlier from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Peter is talking here about the stones which make up a building. God is building a house for himself, a spiritual house. In Old Testament times, there was a temple, a physical house, a place for God to live in. It was built in Jerusalem, on Mount Zion, and it was made of big blocks of stone. Well, now, in New Testament times, God still wants a house on earth to live in. But it's not now a physical building. He's building a spiritual house for himself. And it's built of living stones. Not dead blocks of granite, but stones that are alive. Now, in Bible times, when you started putting up a big stone building, you started by laying one big block of stone, which was going to be the foundation stone or the cornerstone. And then you built other blocks around it, linked with it, in order to make the rest of the foundation. And then other stones were linked to them and through them to the foundation stone. The foundation stone was the key to the whole thing. I don't really know anything about building techniques either then or now, but that was the way they worked. Everything depended on having a solid foundation stone. Get the right stone in the right place, a stone that wouldn't shift, a stone that would never crack, and then all the other stones would hold together, because they were all built around the one foundation stone. The cornerstone locked all the other stones into place. Now, in this new spiritual temple which God is building, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He is the foundation stone. Peter quotes a prophecy from the Old Testament in verse 6, a prophecy which says that the Messiah will be the cornerstone. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." This is God himself speaking. And he's speaking about the Messiah, the King whom he's going to send. And he says about him, "I lay a stone in Zion." I'm going to build a new temple. Not on that physical mountain in Palestine, but on the real Mount Zion. On that holy mountain which reaches up from earth to heaven. This new temple will be a place where God himself can really dwell, and where human beings can really meet with God. And the first step in building the new temple, I lay a stone. I myself put it in place. This new temple will not be built by human enterprise and ingenuity. It's God himself who builds it. It's God himself who puts the foundation stone in place. God puts the Messiah in place in order that he should be the first stone in the new temple. And God says he's a chosen and precious cornerstone. He's chosen by God and he's precious to God. God is going to build his true temple around Jesus the Messiah. He is an absolutely reliable cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. He is absolutely solid. He'll never move. He'll never shift. He'll never be eroded. He'll never crack. If the building is built around him, then the building is absolutely safe. Any stone that's linked with him is secure. Nobody who trusts in that foundation will ever be put to shame. They'll never finish up saying, I was duped. I was misled. I got it wrong. I thought this foundation was secure, and it's not. The one who trusts in him is secure. So Jesus is the keystone in the building. He is the cornerstone. But then, Peter says, all believers are linked to him. We come to Christ, and we're joined to him as stones to the cornerstone. And that's the way the building grows. Verse 4, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Christ is the one great stone on which the house is built. And believers coming to him, joined to him, are all stones in the building, in this new temple. It's a tremendous picture, isn't it? God's people, the church, it's spread out all over all the world, meeting in, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of different congregations. And yet in God's mind, from God's eternal perspective, the church is one single building, one great structure. And in it, every single true believer is linked with every other believer within that structure. We can't see the links because it's a spiritual house. We're not joined by visible cement or mortar. We're joined to one another by the Holy Spirit. But the links are real. The building is more solid. It's more lasting than any physical building. This building is going to last forever because it's built on the one unmovable cornerstone. And never forget, the reason why the stones from all over the world, the reason why they are all linked with each other, is because they are all linked to Jesus Christ. Because they're all linked to the great foundation stone. He is the one who holds the whole building together. Now this is something very fundamental, isn't it? sometimes somebody decides that they want to become a Christian. Maybe they're feeling lonely. Maybe they're feeling a bit isolated, a bit down. And somebody invites them along to church. And people there seem friendly. And they all seem very close to one another and supportive. And it's a very attractive sort of proposition. And more than that, what these Christians are saying, that seems very attractive. They're talking about having your sins forgiven and having God as your Father and going to heaven. And this person, this visitor, wants to be part of all of that. And so he or she decides to become a Christian. They decide they're going to join the church. And they think that's where you start. You start by joining the church, joining the movement, joining the organization, linking yourself with all these other people. And that's what they do. They get baptized. They join the membership. They take part in the activities. And they seem to be linked with all the other people. But somehow, there's still something missing. They pray prayers, but they never feel that they're really in touch with God when they pray. And they listen to sermons, but they never really feel that God is speaking to them and dealing with them. They never feel that this is the voice of their Father speaking to them by name. They don't really feel that they've got any personal contact with God at all. They can't say that they love Him in any personal way. And they don't sense His love for them in any personal way. They don't hate sin. And they don't long for heaven. They enjoy belonging to the organization. They're glad that they're members of the church. And they enjoy some of the activities. But they don't have any sense of God, or of forgiveness of sins, or of any real nearness to God. And in the end, 4 or 5 years later, it may well be that they get bored with church, because something else comes along that's got more to offer. A new hobby, a new friendship. And the church just fades in importance. And they drift away. Well, what's gone wrong? Just this. They thought that becoming a Christian meant first linking yourself with the other stones. So they came and joined themselves to the other Christians. But Peter says no. He says to be a real part of God's temple, you first have to be linked with the cornerstone. You have to be joined to Jesus Christ Himself. You only become a living stone when you're joined to the one great living stone, Jesus Christ. The problem with these people is that they joined the church, but they were never joined to Jesus Christ Himself. So they never had life in Him. The life never flowed from the living stone into them. Peter says, you come to Him. You come to Jesus Christ, the living stone. And that is how you become living stones to be built into the spiritual house. Peter says it's the one who trusts in Him, Jesus Christ, who'll never be let down. So that is always the first question to anyone who says he's a Christian. Do you mean that you've joined the Christian movement? That you've linked yourself with Christian people? That you've taken on a Christian lifestyle and a Christian outlook? Christian beliefs? Or do you mean that you've had personal dealings with Jesus Christ? Have you ever felt Him drawing you to Himself? Have you ever looked at Jesus Christ Himself as He's pictured in the Bible? Jesus living that life of awesome purity. Jesus dealing with sinful human beings. Jesus dying in agony on the cross in the place of sinners. Jesus walking out of the tomb alive again, triumphant over death. Jesus in heaven, reigning forever. Have you ever found yourself saying, He's wonderful. I need Him. I need Him as my Saviour. I can't live without Him. Have you ever felt the attraction of Jesus Christ? Have you ever found yourself falling down in front of Him, saying, Jesus, please have mercy on me? Are you clinging to Him? Are you crying to Him? Are you depending on Him? Are you trusting Him alone? Peter says in verse 7, to you who believe, He is precious. Can you simply say with no hesitation, Jesus Christ Himself is precious to me. I trust Him and I love Him. You know, there are millions upon millions of people who have linked up to churches, but they are not personally linked with Christ. So they cannot be living stones in the temple. So the first thing is that we must be sure that we are joined to Jesus Christ Himself. He is the foundation stone to which every other stone must be linked. But then the second thing to emphasize is this, that when people are joined to Jesus Christ, that means they must be linked with other believers. Now, as I said earlier, that is inevitably true if we are thinking about the one great church throughout the world, the whole company of the elect, the church invisible. God has actually joined every believer to every other believer in the world. There really is one great temple, and every believer really is a stone in that temple, linked with every other stone. But there must be more than that. Because God has not only created the one invisible church, He has created visible local churches. And His great intention is that every believer should be linked with other believers there, within the visible church on the ground. Now that is there in Peter's picture too. Believers for Peter are not just individual stones scattered all over the place. Believers joined to Jesus Christ are stones in a building, all linked to one another as well. You weren't saved so that you could live a separate individual life just doing your own thing. You were saved so that your life could be linked with other lives, so that you could be built together with them, so that you could depend on them and they could depend on you. You were saved to be a stone joined to other stones. Just think of the picture. In a building, every stone has its proper place. And every stone is kept from falling by the other stones underneath it and around it. And on top of it, every stone needs the other stones. And they need it. You can't afford to have gaps between the stones. The building can't be solid and safe unless each stone is linked with all the other stones. You need other believers to share your life. Let's just list some of the ways that believers are supposed to be linked with each other. You need other believers to teach you. God never intended that you should find out all the truth you need on your own. He wants you to be taught by other believers. You need other believers to encourage you, to help you keep going when it's hard. You need other believers to rebuke you, to tell you when you're going off the rails. You need other believers to help you to witness to the world. You were never supposed to do that all on your lonesome. The Lone Ranger evangelist. You need other believers to set you an example and to pray with you and to pray for you and to love you and to give you practical support. And sometimes you need other believers to exasperate you and upset you, because that's the only way you'll learn patience and forgiveness. You need to be built together with all the other stones for all those reasons. And likewise the other way around. The other believers need to be taught by you and encouraged by you and rebuked by you and helped in their witness by you. They need your example. They need your prayers. They need your love. They need your practical support. And as you rub against them, one stone against another, they'll be helped to grow in grace even through your faults. The church is a building, and every stone is necessary. There are no redundant stones in God's structure. When the church meets, if someone's missing, the building isn't complete. There are stones missing. If somebody becomes a true Christian through faith in Christ, but doesn't join a church, then there's a building somewhere with a stone missing. God wanted that stone to be fixed into the building, linked with other stones. Somewhere there's a building that's incomplete without that stone. Or if a Christian leaves a church where God has put them, then all the other stones suffer. The whole structure is weakened, and there's a gap left in one of the walls. Or if a Christian just isn't there at the meetings, then the building of the church is damaged by them being missing. The other stones need that stone. And he or she isn't there. They aren't there to encourage. They aren't there to pray. They aren't there to find out what's going on in the lives of others. They're not there to set an example. Of course, some Christians say, well, I see I need Christian fellowship. But I don't see that that has to mean belonging to church and being at the meetings and so on. I mean, I can have my Christian friends without it all being official, can't I? Without all these rules and structures and so on. After all, I've got that fellowship at work and they're very helpful and so on. But again, they've not understood the picture, have they? Christians are supposed to be a building, not just a pile of stones heaped together any old how. When you put up a building, the stones have to be joined together in the right order. There has to be a structure. There has to be a pattern. They have to be ordered in the way, in according to the blueprint that the architect has drawn up. And that's what a church is. It's a group of believers linked to Christ, but then linked with one another according to God's blueprint, according to God's pattern. God has laid down in the Bible the way that the building should look. It should be made up of baptized believers. And they should be people of all sorts, men and women, young and old, people of different social groups, but all together. They should have leaders, elders, set aside for the ministry of the word, and deacons set aside for works of mercy and practical help. If there are any of the church who are in situations of hardship, the church should provide for them. The Bible should be taught systematically. There should be preaching and teaching. There should be prayer meetings. There should be discipline. They should gather together at the Lord's table and break bread and drink wine together. This is the structure of the building. And every Christian needs to be part of that structure. It's not enough to say, oh, I've got Christian friends who are a great help to me, thanks very much. God wants his living stones to be built together according to his blueprint. To be built together in the right order, the right pattern, into the sort of building that he himself has designed. So firstly, every stone must be joined to Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. Secondly, every stone must be linked with other stones. And that's what the local church is for. And then the third big thing to say is this. The purpose for which all the stones are linked together is so that God can dwell among them. Remember, that's the picture here. The building that's being built is a temple. A spiritual house for God himself. That's why God chose the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, and put him in place. That's why God takes all these other stones and puts them in place. So that together we can be a temple for him. God wants a house worthy of himself. God wants a house fit for him to live in. Now that is something we must never forget. All the time, as natural, fallen human beings, sinful human beings, we're thinking of ourselves. And we find ourselves talking as if the really important thing is that I should be happy. So if somebody asks you, why do you think God saved you? You might very well find yourself saying, well, so that I could go to heaven and be happy forever. But that's not what Peter tells us here. Peter tells us God saved us because he wanted a house for himself. He wanted a temple to dwell in. God saved us so that we could be stones in his temple. He saved us for his own sake. He saved us for his own pleasure and glory. Peter emphasizes that even more as he goes on to verse 5. By changing the picture a little. And first he calls us a spiritual house, a temple. But then he calls us a holy priesthood. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. In Old Testament times you had a temple, and that was one thing, and then within the temple you had the priests working, serving God, and that was a second thing. But Peter says, here in New Testament days, you believers are both the house and the priesthood. The house is there for God to dwell in, and the priests are there to serve God. They're not there to please themselves. They're there to worship God. They're there to bring God honor. Look what he says. He says, you, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Why did God save you? and join you to Jesus Christ, the great foundation stone? Why does he join you to other Christians? Is it first and foremost for you, for your enjoyment, for your benefit, for your satisfaction? No, it's so that together with those other believers, you can be a house for God. So that together with those other believers, you can offer God the spiritual sacrifices that are due to him. Praise and worship and obedience and service. Now, if every Christian were really to take that in, it would utterly transform their attitude to the You know, so many Christians spend so much time moaning that they're not getting out of the church what they want for themselves and what they think they should have. They don't enjoy it. They don't feel at home. Oh, it's all very hard work. People aren't as nice to them as they expected. They often feel bored. The preacher's often long-winded. And the worship, i.e. the singing, isn't all that great. So maybe the time has come to look for another church, because I'm not getting what I want. And what they're really saying is this: the church should be there for me, for my enjoyment, for my satisfaction, for my benefit. And God says, no, the church is there for me, for him. The church is there to be my temple, says God. The church is there to be my priesthood, says God. The church is there to make sure that I receive the honour that's due to me, says God. And the role of every living stone within the temple is first to seek God's glory. To do what they can to make sure that the temple, that the church is a temple worthy for God. A temple that he'll enjoy living in. To make sure that they're giving themselves as priests to offer the sort of sacrifices that will delight him. What matters is not whether we are enjoying the life of the church, but whether God is enjoying the life of the church. That has to be our goal. Why do you go to the prayer meeting? If you go because you enjoy it, because there's a nice friendly atmosphere, because it's a nice break, you can get away from your husband in the middle of the week, because you find it helpful, well then you'll stay away when you stop enjoying it. Or when the atmosphere is cold. Or when you don't personally find it helpful. But if you're there because this is God's temple, and you're going there because it honours God to call upon him and to pray for the things he's commanded, if that's your reason, then you'll be there regardless of how you feel. Why do you keep working away in the Sunday school? If it's because you love kids and you find it fulfilling, then one day you'll say, well, I don't find it interesting any longer. And you'll look for an excuse to drop it. But if you're involved because this is God's temple, and this is one way you can honour God by preaching him to godless youngsters, then you'll carry on. And it's the same with every part of church life. Why do you carry on bothering with these people? Why do you carry on praying for them? Why do you carry on listening to sermons? Why do you carry on giving practical help to fellow Christians who never say thank you? If it's for what you get out of it, then one day you'll say, well, I'm not getting enough out of it now.
and you'll walk away. But if you're doing it for God, because you want him to have a holy temple, and you're one of the stones that he's put in place, then you will hang on in there. You'll do it because you're a member of the holy priesthood. And all these things are part of the sacrifice that the priesthood together offers to God. Can you think of all the things you do as a member of the church in that way? You're there at the meetings. It's a sacrifice to God. I do it for his honour. You pray. It's a sacrifice to God. I do it for his honour. You listen to sermons. It's a sacrifice to God. I do it for his honour. I tell the gospel. I'm in the nursing home. It's a sacrifice to God. I do it for his honour. That's the way we've got to approach every part of the life of the church. We're living stones, and what we exist for is to be a holy temple for God's honour. We're a priesthood, and what we exist for is to bring sacrifices for his pleasure and honour. We are living stones. Physical stones and dead stones don't grow. They don't change. But we're living stones. Christ's life flows into us and through us to one another. And what that means is that unlike physical stones, we can grow. We can change. But it will only happen when we act as living stones. Each one of us resting on Christ alone from day to day. Each one of us linked with all the other stones in the building. Each one of us thinking not of himself, but only how we can bring God glory. Listen to what Paul says. We've been reading Peter, but Paul uses just the same picture. This is Ephesians chapter 2. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Well, that's what we want, isn't it? We want to have God in our midst. We want to be built together so that God can live among us by his Spirit. That is his pleasure. That is his honour. That is his glory. But it can also be our greatest joy. May God speak to our hearts through his Holy Spirit.